But my guests here and now aren't really thinking about the festivities. At least, that's not why Clive and Anne Huntingford are in the studio with me right now. One night, former Navy man Clive got ready for bed with his wife Anne, as normal. Turning out the light, he settled down for a good night's sleep. It was the last time he was to see Anne, because by the time he woke up the following morning, Clive had lost his sight and was blind. Overnight, as he slept, his world changed forever, as did Anne's. That was a few years ago. Now, nearing 60, Clive and Anne are about to take on a mighty challenge to help the organisation that helped them deal with their dramatically altered lives. Next year, they're going to walk 100 kilometres as part of the 2014 London to Brighton Walk, raising funds for an organisation called Blind Veterans UK. That's the replacement name for what was once called St Dunstan's. As if doing so without the aid of sight wasn't challenge enough, Clive will be walking as an amputee because just over a year ago he also lost a leg. Both of them are now in the studio with me, and it's a delight to have you here. Clive, and welcome to BBC Radio Northampton.
Good afternoon, John. It's nice to be here.
Lovely to have you here. Tell me about your service past, because let's face it, in Wellingborough, you don't expect to get your feet wet with the Navy.
No, not really. Well, I think that I joined the Navy when I was 15. I came from quite a large family, and I think that after having seven kids in a three-bedroom house, you tend to look for a little bit of freedom. And so I think that at 15, I thought that I'd had enough of school, and I thought I'd rather go and spread my wings a bit. And so I joined the RN. And didn't regret one day that I was in it.
Which branch of the RN were you in? Were you in ships? Were you in submarines?
Oh, ships. Ships, very much ships. I was in communications, and so I looked after things like satellites and high-F transmitters, HF transmitters. That was my job.
Very high-tech in that case, but in ships, I mean, well, you must have been good on ships right from the word go, probably.
I think I was just lucky. I won't be naive enough to say that I was never seasick, because that wouldn't be true, but hardly ever. And I think you build up such a camaraderie with the people that are there, and because you tend to rely on each other, that you soon get your feet safely and firmly on watery ground, as it were.
People always talk about the camaraderie of being in the services. They talk about it being a wonderful career, a wonderful way to see the world and to experience it with your mates, with your comrades. The armed forces have seen big cuts in the recent past. Where did the services take you? Which areas of the world did you see?
Well, I was lucky enough, because I joined in 1969, I was lucky enough to go everywhere. I've been to the US maybe five times. I've been to Japan, Australia, Russia, India, you can name it, and I've been there. So I was very, very lucky, because in the time when I joined the Navy, it was a much larger Navy than it is now.
Mm. And what about active service? I mean, we always hear, and we've heard a lot about Help for Heroes, for instance. They are there dedicated to serving people who've been in the armed forces in whatever guise. There's a lot of active service that actually goes on that the public doesn't really know about.
Yes, well, in the 15 years that I served, we only really had two what we would consider major conflicts, which was in mid-70s during the Turkish invasion of Cyprus. I was on the Armada that took something like, I think, 5,000 to 8,000 British and European holidaymakers from the north in Kyrenia, and took them round to Akateria and Episcopi, sovereign British areas. Mm. And of course, the other one, of course, is that I served in the Falklands at the end of my career.
That was amazing scenes for those of us that hadn't seen the armed forces going into, shall we say, confrontational active service, and on a completely different side of the world, so, so far from home.
It was a very, very unusual thing to do to a certain extent. It's quite hard to understand for some people I know why we would have to travel so many thousands of miles away to protect something which we believed was worth protecting. And but certainly what I can say is that all of the service people that I knew that were down in the Falklands never regretted anything that was down there, and we certainly believed that it was a just and right cause.
You lay the foundations of why you're now able to help the organisation that helped you and Anne. Let's put your service active career to one side. You reached your mid-50s, And you lost your sight in what many people will say is just remarkable circumstances, completely without warning. What did happen?
It was quite frightening, really. I went to bed just normally one night. I think it was a Tuesday, if I remember rightly. And fine, no, without any problems, no headaches, no nothing. And I woke up the next day and I couldn't see anything. Nothing at all. I couldn't see the hand in front of my face. And I remember turning to Anne and saying, I'm blind. And I'm sure she thought that I was joking. I think it wasn't until I started to bounce down the stairs that she realised that perhaps I couldn't see.
It was about the first thing that happened. You literally fell downstairs.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I have glaucoma, which is pressure build-up behind the eyes. And it can strike as easily as that. It's not usual, but it certainly happens.
It's interesting you mention that, because there's glaucoma in my family as well. My uncle's got it, my mother's got it. I've been warned about it, and I'm not quite 50, so I'm certainly thinking about your story and hearing what you're saying. They say that people had had tests for glaucoma. Did you know you'd got it before it happened? Then
no,
you lost your sight?
Not at all, not at all. I've always had what I felt was what we used to call 20/20 vision. So I never really had any inkling. It was really was a complete and utter shock.
Having picked yourself up after having fallen downstairs, you must have gone, literally, into some kind of a shock to your senses, yeah, at not being able to see.
It was a very difficult time in the beginning, and it's very hard to come to terms, because suddenly, I was in my 50s, I had a young family, I was working, I had a very responsible job, I was a sales director with a company, and suddenly everything turned over in a matter of minutes. And I'll be honest and say is that on more than one occasion in the first 6 months, I would sometimes find myself just bursting into tears and crying. That bit of sympathy you tend to have for yourself, which I think is probably normal, but I found it very hard to come to terms with.
As a man who has had the camaraderie of shipmates in the Royal Navy, you're now walking a path, excuse the pun, but you're walking a path that is a very solitary one. To lose your sight in that way, it is of the senses. Nobody else can experience what you are experiencing. Did you feel a sense of loss, not only of your sight, but also the fact that you were doing and having something so individual as was happening to you?
I think, yes, I think that's true. I think that it's hard sometimes to explain to somebody what having no sight is like, and especially when it happens in such a fast manner. And it really is one day you're driving, the next day you're not. One day you can make a cup of coffee, the next day you can't. I can't even see enough to cross the road on my own. Anne has to help me across the road.
And with that in mind, I'd like to bring Anne in on the conversation, because as Clive's just alluded to, Anne, when he lost his sight, your life changed as well, because the demands that were placed, without him actively putting them on you, the demands that Clive's change in lifestyle must have been something that you weren't prepared for either. It must have changed your life dramatically too.
Yes, he certainly did. I didn't really believe him when he said that morning, you know, I can't see.
Bit of a joker.
Yes, I thought he was a bit joshing, really. But bit by bit, as we talked about it, and I just couldn't grasp the idea that he couldn't see. And it's quite frightening to think that why he would not laugh about something like that. But I just couldn't comprehend, and I definitely still now find it hard to understand.
Clive has been without his sight for 3 years, roughly 3 years now. What's it been like? How has he changed as a man? Because talking to him, and I know I'm talking to him and he's in the room and I'm not talking to him directly, but I want to ask you directly, how has Clive, your husband, changed since losing his sight?
I think mostly self-confidence. In effect, for me, he hasn't changed at all. He's still the same man. He's still able to do all these things. There are just small restrictions, which are only the visual ones, which, it's true, walking across a road, he couldn't do that alone anymore. However, on a day-to-day basis, I trust that he can do anything he really wants to do.
Does it mean that, as a result of Clive losing his sight, you've had to move house? Have you had to find accommodation which is easier for Clive to get around with? Have you had to make adjustments to the house? I mean, both of you. How has life changed in terms of knowing where certain things are, but not wanting to crash into them either, Clive?
I think that when I first lost my sight, things were terrible. I don't believe anyone that says that where the furniture is and you can move around. You don't. Mm. You fall over all sorts of things. Mm. And so the layout of the house wasn't good for me. And even worse, of course, when I lost my leg, I couldn't. The house was so small that we couldn't get the wheelchair between the kitchen and the living room. Mm. So it made life quite difficult. But it's a nice way to bring in the fact of Blind Veterans UK, because of course we have moved house quite recently, and it's all because Blind Veterans UK helped us out.
I'm assuming that before you lost your sight, you had no idea about Blind Veterans UK. You had no need of their services.
I must be honest and say that's true. 15 years in the Navy, and I'm a bit embarrassed to say that a service charity, and I really hadn't heard of them myself. Mm. I'm so glad that they're here.
Did you find them, or did they find you? Because, I mean, they used to be known as St Dunstan's, and that's almost a better known name, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, I mean, what actually happened is that when you first go blind, you have to register, and you get a certificate from the consultant to say what your sight's like, and then the local authority has to vet you, as it were, and see what you need in the home to make life as independent as possible, as much as they can in today's age. And it was the young lady there that came to see me that mentioned St Dunstan's, as it were, and I contacted them, and within 2 weeks I was a member of Blind Veterans UK.
And you were then able to access their facilities, their services. Does that come to you as a cost? Do you have to pay for their help?
There is no payment whatsoever. The only thing that you have to be, the only thing you have to be, I suppose, to get the facilities that I get is, unfortunately, blind and ex-service. Mm. So ex-Army, RAF, Navy, of course, and you don't have to lose your sight during the conflict either. It can be at any time during your life.
And how much of, given that the two of you are very much a team, and perhaps more of a team now with Clive's difficulties that he's had to overcome, you've had to overcome them as well. How important has Blind Veterans UK been to you as a couple? Because they've supported you as well.
Yes, they certainly have. The house was really the major step. I could not really believe it. I didn't what exactly they were offering when they said, oh, we could rehome you. But that wasn't the only thing they did. We had an initial week where we went down to Brighton and where they worked us through everything they have on offer. Classes, archery, sculpting, clay work. And for the spouses, they had meetings where you could actually talk with someone about the sight loss, the impact it had on your spouse, and exactly how they see the world. So we had videos and glasses that you could put on to give you an idea of, you know, what it is really like. Of course, it's only
you can experience it, but you can then get your sight
yes,
back.
Yes.
He can't. Clive can't.
He can't do that. So it's on one side, it's quite upsetting. On another, it gives you a better understanding.
So far, we've talked about Clive losing his sight. I've already mentioned, and Clive's mentioned it too, he has one leg because he lost the other and had it amputated just over a year ago. That itself is remarkable, because next year, Clive and Anne are going to be taking a bit of a walk. It's 100 kilometres long. We'll find out what it's all about after the latest on the roads.